Let's have another quick word of prayer. Please bow with me. Father, once again, we thank you for this privilege to be in your house of prayer. And Father, now as we go to your word, Lord, we ask and pray that you will guide us in understanding your word and recognition, dear Father, that these are the commandments that you give us to live by, to have faith by, and to conduct ourselves by. Forgive us for the times when we are weak, and Father, we are not perfectly submissive to you as we should be. And we thank you, Father, for these modern-day examples of those, regardless of their conditions, who have such great faith as the author Fanny Crosby does. Father, may we learn from this and recognize that it's not the circumstances or conditions of our life that matter, but it is our faith and obedience to you. So, Father, we pray, guide us through this remaining portion of this hour. May everything we do be pleasing and directed by your Holy Spirit. This we ask for in the name of Christ, and amen. Those two hymns that we just sang, you know, they teach us so much. And what an example of faith that Fanny Crosby was, that in spite of her inabilities, look at the testament that still lives on beyond her now. And, you know, we all can have that faith if that's what we prioritize in our life, if we strengthen in the way that we choose to live by God's word. And as we go into this year, I've focused a little bit on kind of self-reflection and a New Year's resolutions of how we can recognize, are we living by God's words the way we should be? In our opening passage that we read for our call to Scripture in 1 Peter, to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And this is true, and see, it's something that unites us. Faith unites us. But the struggles of life also unite us, because no matter where we are in this world, we all have these difficulties. And you know, when we're doing our best to walk by God's, by faith, to keep God's commandments and to live as His ambassadors here on this life, in this world, that's when Satan strikes us the hardest. And, you know, sometimes the commandments that Jesus gave us, they seem so simple, but yet we fail because we're not perfect. So we need to walk humbly before God and ask and pray that He will lead us and give us strength to fulfill the commandments that He's given us and to use the talents that He has given each of us as an individual. Because we all have talents and we all have a measure of faith. And you know, those trials come in our lives sometimes to exercise and strengthen our faith. Just like Nick here, how many years has he spent practicing the piano? I'm sure there were times when those practices were not what you wanted to do and might have been difficult. But you did them and you got better. And the trials that come into our lives do the same thing. They strengthen us. They get us better. But you know, sometimes, folks, there's something that we struggle with. Now, as we get a little more focused on our message today, because, again, I'm wanting to look at ourselves. And this needs to be a self-reflective message. Because as we attempt to keep the commandments that Jesus gave us, there's one that comes to mind that we all struggle with, no matter how seasoned in faith we are. It's something that applies to all of us. You see, we need to be discerning in this life. We have to be discerning to take heed to what Peter just warned us about, the roaring lion, the devil, and to recognize him in life. But sometimes we struggle about being discerning and letting that fall over into being judgmental, especially with other people. It's hard to separate the two. But make no mistake, and know this for sure, Satan will make it as difficult as possible for us to properly know the difference between the two. And he'll use confusion and uncertainty to cause us as much grief as possible in trying to separate them out, the difference between discernment and being judgmental. But it's something we have to do. And folks, we can only do that as by spending more time in God's Word, because there's wisdom that is found in God's Word. And there's wisdom here that you don't find anyplace else. And it helps us when we know His Word and we live by His Word, even when we can't understand things. That's how discernment is honed. That is like rubbing your knife on a wet rock. It gets sharper and sharper the more you work at it. The same is true with our faith. Now, I want to focus today on the difference between judgment and discernment. And this may follow over into next week's sermon as well, Lord willing, unless He places something else on my heart. Because it's important as God's people here on this earth to know the difference. And to not be confusing to other people in the way we live our life, because other people are always watching us. You know, there's a widely quoted passage, or little excerpt, I'll say, from the Bible by those who don't go to church and who live way outside the church in very, very ungodly ways. And one of the favorite things they say is, well, don't judge. How many times have we heard that? Don't judge me. They pull that from the Bible, do not judge. But folks, we know there are times when we need to judge. But we need discernment to know how to judge properly. God's Word gives us this discernment if we read it, if we live by it. So again, I want to look both at judging and discernment. And I want to focus on first, discernment of ourselves. Are we being discerning or are we being judgmental? And then the discernment of evil and the discernment of God's Word. And again, some of this may go over into next week. Matter of fact, I that's the way I feel right now, that it definitely will. And I want to share a couple of kind of lighthearted stories to kind of help us to see sometimes the difference in people and the way that we discern things. And one is a loose take on one of Aesop's fable. So I want to read that to you now. And basically, I know it, I remember it from when I was young. But let me share it with you. Because of old age and poor health, a lion could no longer catch prey the way he used to by force and stealth. So he resolved to do so by being savvy and through his wits. So he laid down in his den and pretended to be sick. And before long, the other animals recognized that the lion was sick. And they noticed it. So the animals came by to taunt the lion because they always lived in fear and they no longer feared him because of his bad health. But when they taunted too much and they approached too close, the lion pounced on them and devoured them. After many of the animals disappeared, a fox came by and stood a respectful distance from the lion and asked, "Well, what's wrong?" "I'm very sick," said the lion. "Come closer so we can talk easier." "No, thank you," said the fox. "I notice that there are many paw prints entering your cave, but I don't see any of them returning." You see, you could say that that fox was very discerning. He could read between the tea leaves, is another way to say that, and he knew what the lion's intentions were. And folks, that's what discernment is. The other animals had rushed to judgment. The fox stood back and was a little wary. He thought he would watch and learn. And let me share another one that we might can relate to a little better. Because I know some of you here remember the Lone Ranger and Tonto growing up when you were younger. So let me read something with you about a story that supposedly took place between the Lone Ranger and Tonto. They had a hard day and they stopped in the desert and set up camp. After the tent was set up, they both quickly fell asleep. A few hours later, Tonto woke up the Lone Ranger and said, "Kemosabe, look towards the sky. What do you see?" The Lone Ranger replies, "Well, I see millions of stars." "What that tell you?" asked Tonto. The Lone Ranger pondered for a minute and then says, "It tells me there are millions of galaxies and potentially billions of planets. It also tells me that Saturn is in the constellation of Leo. Theologically, it's evident that the Lord is all-powerful and we are small and insignificant. Time-wise, it's a little after 3 in the morning." and it seems that we will have a beautiful day tomorrow. What does it tell you, Tonto? Tonto is silent for a minute and then says, Kemosabe, you are dumber than a box of rocks. It means someone stole the tent. Now, both Tonto and the Lone Ranger showed discernment, but when Tonto called the Lone Ranger dumber than a box of rocks, you see, that's where it crosses over from discernment to being judgmental. He saw things differently, what was obvious, and he didn't think past that. So one more example, and I've seen this in my life, this one. Let's say that you pull up to a stoplight that has just turned red, somebody comes up behind you, and then they go around you and they run the red light. I've had that happen to me. Now, how do you respond? Well, a discerning person would say there might be something wrong, but that's a surefire way to have a bad accident and hurt somebody. I think we'd all agree it is. That's what discernment is, recognizing the danger there. But the judgmental person would say, that idiot, how stupid can they be? They're either going to get killed or kill somebody else and go to hell. You see, that's being highly judgmental. And sometimes we hear that from people. And I hope I'm separating out in a light manner way the difference between discernment and judgmental. Oftentimes when our emotions get in the way, we suddenly go across the line from discernment to judgmental. Does that happen to us? Again, I want this to be a self-reflecting, self-discernment message. We need to analyze ourselves. So I want to think about the differences between being discerning and judging. Now let's turn to the Lord's Word found in the Gospel of Luke chapter 6. And we are told here several things. I'm going to read the whole passage and then we're going to back up. Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 37 through 42. If you have your Bibles, please turn there, or your phone, or of course it's on our PowerPoint. And here Jesus is very specific, and let me just remind you again to what we just sang. We sang this about the supreme power of Jesus, and all hail the power of Jesus' name, and then about perfect submission and blessed assurance. So Jesus is all supreme, and He has authority over our lives. And He is giving us guidance and direction. And folks, that's discernment, to learn from when God speaks, we listen. And we need to apply this to our lives. Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 37. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And He spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who has perfectly trained and will be like his teacher. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, Brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. Now, there's a lot in that message, in that passage, and in that parable. And some of it we're not actually going to focus on. I hope I can come back to it at another time. But folks, this is the directions we need to be self-discerning, because Jesus is pointing our thoughts about problems in our the person doesn't want to focus on problems in their life. They want to focus on the problems and issues that other people are having. And He's telling us no, to turn inward and look at our own imperfections. Why is it we want to focus so much on other people's imperfections and then not focus on our own? We all have more than enough to share. But that's being self-discerning. Fixing what needs to be fixed in us first. And if we don't, we are foolish. And let me say that. We are foolish when we don't think about our problems and we're worried about everybody else's. And when I say our problems, I mean those areas in our life that we know are not right, that we need to fix. That's what being self-discerning is. Jesus just told us. Let's read it again. Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. So how, if you just take that portion of this passage, how can we see clearly to tell somebody else what they're doing wrong when we're not even looking at what we might be doing wrong? It starts with us first. We need to be self-discerning. We need to be reflecting on our life. We've talked about this now. This is the third Sunday. How can we improve ourselves going forward? You know, we don't make formal resolutions, but we have some resolutions that we make, and we can find any resolution that applies to us in God's Word on how we can strengthen our faith, how we can have faith in His Word, how we can trust to walk by His Word. But it's a conscious choice that we have to make to do these things. Just like this, you have to make a conscious choice to start looking, okay, where am I wrong before I start telling everybody else where they're wrong? We have to look at ourselves. That's what comes first. Jesus warned about that a little more sternly in Matthew's account. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 2, he says, and you think about this for a moment, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. When you really start thinking about those words, there's a lot of gravity in those words about how we treat other people. So I want to ask you a question. And again, you have to apply it to yourselves. And I'll preface this question with a comment that I've made before. And I'm sure you probably remember it. We all just love grace. We cling to grace. And we're thankful for God's grace that forgives us of our sins. But you know, sometimes we want to be the dispensary of grace. We want grace for ourselves, but we don't want it given to other people because we may have issues with them and we don't think they're deserving of it. That's what is meant by with what measure that you use. So let me ask you, what is the standard? What is the criteria you use to judge others? Is it the same one that you use to judge yourself? Now that's a separation, isn't it? Do you hold yourself to the same standard that you hold other people to? And you know that can work both ways. And this is where it boils down to Satan again. Because he will use confusion and uncertainty to do everything he can to sow chaos in our life. See, when we sometimes, a person who is struggling with themselves, they hold themselves to an impossible standard that can never be obtained. And it's impossible because we're not perfect. Only God is. So we need to rest in God's grace and forgiveness and hold ourselves to God's standard and live by His Word and don't try to add to it. You see, the Pharisees added burdens to the lives of the people all the time. We're not to do that. We are supposed to accept God's grace freely but be responsive to it and live by His Word. But the other person, oh, he'll forgive himself anything, but won't forgive another person, won't forgive his brother or sister. One way, let me give you an example that this happens. Both ways. We are judgmental. One way we are judgmental is by judging other people's motives. You see, too often when we judge other people's motives, we are less likely to be forgiving. Because we're being presumptuous when we judge other people's motives. We don't know, do we, what's in another person's heart. But when we think we do, and we start jumping ahead, judging their motives, and then their actions come behind it, and then we're suddenly judging everything. It's not built on a solid foundation most of the time. And so when we don't know what another person's heart is or what their motives are, we shouldn't be judging that. Again, in Luke 6:37, judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. You see, when we jump to conclusions and we're condemning somebody and not even thinking about forgiving them, we're in trouble. Because God may hold our sins against us for a period of time, and they may cause us all kind of griefs until we go before Him with a repentant heart. But God is quick to forgive when we forgive one another. Jesus taught us that. So again, being self-discerning, how judgmental are me and you? How judgmental is the church as a whole? It's something that before we look at others, we need to look at ourselves. But collectively, as a body of Christ, we need to look at ourselves as well. You see, we don't always know what's in another person's heart and what their motives are, do we? But God does. And let me just give you a quick example. It's just happenstance. I had thought of this earlier. It has nothing to do with our members that aren't here today. But I've seen it in every church I've ever been in. Sometimes people start whispering, "Why isn't that person here today?" And they think they know when they don't. And you see, it's so quick to start judging. What happened? Well, you don't know, but you think of all these possibilities. You see, again, a lighthearted little moment. But it speaks to our human nature. We think we know and we don't know. But God does know, folks, and this again needs to be self-discerning because it applies to everybody. God looks on the heart. He looks on our heart just as He looks on the other people's heart. And in Samuel, we are told this exactly. 1 Samuel 16. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For the man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." So God is looking on our heart too, and He sees when we don't want to be as kind as we should be and forgiving other people as we should be, as He is to us. You see, we are supposed to love our brothers and sisters as much or more than we love ourselves. But too often we become judgmental, and we don't have the proper discernment that we need. But that discernment, folks, it starts with us and hearing what God tells us. We don't need to jump to conclusions about other people's motives. And I believe that Jesus was speaking to that quite a bit when He gave us His passage. We need to be thinking about removing the beam, the mote, as it's called, from our own eye. Because, folks, we have a lot of imperfections rather than condemning somebody else for their imperfections. See, we need to try to help the other person, support them as they struggle with their imperfections. That's what God likes to see, is a cheerful giver. You know, there's not many things about man that the Bible says that God looks upon favorably, but two of them are, God loves a cheerful giver, is the exact words. And God is merciful to us and forgives us when we forgive others. So again, you have to look at yourself. Look at our own heart, because God is looking at our heart. And as in regards to how we deal with our brothers and sisters of the faith, I want you to think about this of the faith. Look what Paul said to the Romans. Romans chapter 14, verses 10 through 13. And he asked this question. "Well, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God.' So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another any more, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way." And one of the ways that we become a stumbling block and cause another person to fall is when all we do is condemn and grumble and gripe about other people, because it demoralizes that person. When God has been so kind and generous to us, we need to recognize that no matter what we say about that other person, we're just as guilty. It might be in different manners, but we're all just as guilty. So we need to show support for another person in a godly way. Now let me just quickly highlight some of the judgments that were being passed on others when Paul wrote this to the Romans. That church in Rome was in the center of a pagan society. But there were being judgments passed about previous lifestyles that some of the people had lived, about what was their motivation to confess Christ to begin with, and also about how wealth was acquired, and then about the current lifestyles that some of them were living. Now, don't all those apply to us today? Sometimes we start being suspicious in our minds, and these questions come up about another person. It shouldn't, but it does. There's only one thing in this list I just gave that is worthy of being considered to attempt to judge another person's life, and that is their current lifestyle. That's the only thing that we need to come close to judging. If the lifestyle is wrong, for whatever reason, if the lifestyle is wrong, then we are not being judgmental if we point it out and we explain what God's Word says that shows why it's wrong. But folks, we need to do that in the right way, and then we need to pray for that person. How often do we want to say, well, you're doing this wrong, but yet we're not offering any prayers for that person at all? You see, that comes back down to our heart. It's not in the right place. It is different between what God's Word and what the world would have us to live. Satan sows that confusion. He wants us to struggle with it. But make no mistake, it is not wrong to point out what God's Word says and just tell another person, say, hey, look, you're doing this, and God's Word says the other. That's not wrong, and that's not being judgmental. So let's look at discernment to help us a little bit more, so we can begin to understand it. And I've got two examples here. And one I'm going to paraphrase a little bit that was found in the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, Jesus had just fed the 5,000. And the disciples went across the sea, and Jesus stayed behind and prayed on the mountaintop. And then he went across, walked on the sea, and got in the boat with the disciples, and they went to the other side. Well, people were looking, trying to find Jesus. And I just chose this portion to start up with the rest of the story. John chapter 6, starting in verse 23. However, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate the bread after the Lord had given thanks. And just to remind you, they fed more. It says 5,000, that's 5,000 men. That's not counting children and women, with 7 loaves of bread. Jesus performed one of the greatest miracles in the Bible. With the loaves, 5 loaves of bread and 7 fish, I'm probably saying that backwards, he fed 5,000 people. And so people saw that, and now they're wanting to find him. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them and said, Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. You see, God looks on the heart, and God can discern the heart, and He knows the true motives. He knew why these people were seeking them. He knows why sometimes people are in church and it's not for the right reasons. God sees all. But folks, we always don't, so we have to learn how to discern. Jesus knew their motivations. But before we rush to judgment, we need to take an example of that Aesop fable that I first read. We need to be wary like the fox, because eventually a person's true character will come out. And when it does, we can judge properly, because actions speak louder than words. And any of us with a little experience in life have seen that, and we know that. Too often times we want to rush to judgment. We need to sit back sometimes and be wary and watch, because actions speak louder than words. And we are told this in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. You see, folks, people can confess and say all kinds of things. They may act one way, but when it's a facade and it's not real, eventually their actions will give it away. We are not to judge too quickly. We are not to judge just because we have a suspicion. But by actions, we are to judge. Most often, our actions will reveal what's in our hearts and also in the hearts of others. Remember, God sees them and God knows them. When we apply God's Word to our lives, our wisdom and our ability to discern both ourselves and others will increase. Discernment is important for us to live properly as a Christian. I hope this message, as we've touched on it, will give a little clarity to the importance of being self-reflective, to looking at the beam that's in our eye and what's in our hearts before we rush to judgment with other people. Because removing that beam from our eye is what repentance is. The very first thing Jesus preached was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Folks, we all need to repent, and we need to be reflecting on the things we need to repent of. And I hope as we reflect on the message of repentance, and we start thinking about, well, God has blessed me so greatly, even though I have these problems in my life, how good He's been to me and how kind He's been to me. I hope it will help you to see the beauty and compassion that we find in what I've kind of termed our New Year's resolution scripture. And that was what we find in Micah, and I've shared it now for 3 Sundays in a row. Micah chapter 6, He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. You see, when we truly start to walk in this way, it takes discernment to do it. And there's nothing that you can find in that that's being judgmental. Now, next week, Brother Merritt, I think I'm going to wear my old classic car tie because I want to look at an old classic story that we all know very well, but one that highlights discernment and judgment. I pray that the Lord will bless me in those efforts. If it's His will, that's what we'll do. And I pray it'll be to the benefit of all of us. May the Lord add His blessings. Brother Mark.